Amen. It's good to be here this morning. Isaiah chapter 28, and I want to start with verse 14. Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 14. And if you'll indulge me this morning, I want to read down to verse 8, through verse 18. Isaiah 28 and verse 14. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death. Everybody said, a covenant with death. That's what they had done, as crazy as that sounds. And with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death, everybody said, a covenant with death. There it is again, the second time. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down by it. Praise God. There's some covenants that we can make in our lives. And there's two different ones that we see here in the book of Isaiah, in the scriptures that we read this morning. And one of them is a covenant with death and with hell. And another is a covenant with life. A covenant with life. And that's what I want to preach about this morning. Lord, we thank you for the word of God. I'm asking you to anoint your word. I'm asking you to speak to our hearts this morning. We give you honor, praise, and thanks in Jesus' name. And somebody said, amen. 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 God bless you. You can be seated this morning. The word covenant here means an agreement. And it is a compact. That is a confederacy or an agreement between two parties. And interestingly, the definition of the word covenant here in these verses of scripture is a covenant or a compact, an agreement between parties, because made by passing between pieces of flesh. And when we're going to look at that as we get into the word here this morning, because the Lord wants to enter into a covenant with you and I. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
And when we have a covenant here, there's so many different things that I could use for the word covenant and the understanding of this in the scripture. But as I've already said, it's at least two parties. One contributing to the covenant and the other contributing to the covenant. And when you buy something, if you buy a home, if you buy a vehicle, there's always a covenant that is involved in that. If you borrow money from the bank to purchase your vehicle, you're going to make a covenant with the bank or an agreement with the bank. And we will give you this much money to purchase the vehicle, and you will give us this much money every month until that money is paid back. And I'm sure there's probably several that are here this morning that have done that. I have done that. I purchased our home, and we've purchased vehicles, and there is a covenant. And it's not just a verbal covenant, but it is a covenant that is in writing. Amen. And there is of necessity that there be a signature. And if you buy a home, you might as well get two or three ink pens because you're going to be signing your name in a lot of different places. And I've been to those closings, and they break out all of these pens, and I thought, oh my, what am I getting myself into here? And they make their signatures, and they promise certain things. When you buy a vehicle, they'll give you some free oil changes. They'll give you a warranty if it's brand new, 3 years and 36,000 miles, and we expect them to fulfill their part when something breaks down in that period of time. Amen. And both parties are involved when we talk about a covenant. And it's probably not a perfect example, but it's really close because what the Lord is interested in is making a covenant with people. Praise God. And what we're talking about this morning is a covenant with God, a covenant with life. When you make a covenant with God, you are making a covenant with life. And this covenant, now, when you talk about buying a home or you buy a car, there's usually some profit involved, not all the time, but most of the time, there is some profit that is involved, and somebody makes out and walks away with a little bit better deal than the other one. And I would say that would be lopsided in somebody's favor. When we make a covenant with God, I look at that as a lopsided covenant. Amen. Because it is a covenant that is in our favor. Praise God. We're the ones that are really making out on this deal. Amen. And it's not really a deal, but it is. You understand what I'm saying this morning. And with an earthly agreement, each side feels like they're getting a good deal, but in this relationship and covenant with God, if you look at it and you really understand it, we are the ones that are really making out great. Praise God. Amen. And it is because we are getting life instead of death. We are getting something that we don't deserve. Amen. But God is willing to go the second mile to help us. Praise God. Isaiah 61 and verse 1. Let's look at some more scripture this morning. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1. These are messianic prophecies from the book of Isaiah. There's quite a few other ones as well. And the scripture says here, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes." Now here is the covenant that we are getting involved in when we make a covenant with God. And it says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, and to give them, now here's the ones that are mourning, that are weeping. And when you make a covenant with death and you make a covenant with hell, there's going to be some weeping in your life. There's going to be some things that come that are not very nice. Amen. And to give to them beauty. Everybody said beauty. Amen. Here's what the Lord is promising. He will give us beauty, and we will give him ashes. Amen. What a deal. Praise God. What a wonderful, wonderful deal. Beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. And so he wants to give us the oil of joy. Amen. And that joy that's going to come in the morning is going to be a perfect joy that we're going to have. Praise God. Amen. The oil of joy for mourning. And so what we do when we make a covenant with the Lord is we bring our tears to him. And it reminds me of that scripture in the New Testament where the woman washed his feet with her tears. Or scripture says with tears. And in the Bible days, they had tear bottles. And if there was some tragic thing that happened in a person's life, it was a bottle with a long neck and a small, almost like a straw. And they would put it up to their face and they would catch their tears and they would keep them stored in that bottle. And there was obviously enough tears in that bottle to anoint the feet of Jesus Christ. What a beautiful, beautiful story. And you can look that up and read it for yourself. But what the Lord wants to give us is our mourning, our tears, and he will replace it with the oil of joy. Praise God. Praise God. And the garment of praise. Garment, of course, is something that you put on. And what we give to him in return is a spirit of heaviness. Amen. And that covenant with death, the covenant with sin, and the covenant with lies that Isaiah prophesied about here in Isaiah chapter 28, those things bring a spirit of heaviness. Amen. Have you ever had a spirit of heaviness in your life? I'll tell you, it's the will of God. It's his purpose and plan for us to give that to him and for us to give him back the spirit of heaviness, and he will give us the garment of praise. And the reason here is that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Praise God. You know where God gets the glory? God gets the glory when you and I come to him with nothing and he endows us with everything. Praise God. And it's not just a matter of giving to us things in this life, but for more reasons than that, amen, he wants to give us eternal things. Well, praise God. And this is the one that came to make a covenant with us. And this covenant that God wants to make with us is a covenant that spares us from heartache and spares us from eternal trouble. And all we have to give to him is our failures. Amen. Come on, somebody. Amen. All we have to give to him is our failures. Amen. Well, praise God. Maybe we'll get going here this morning. And when we talk about two sides of the covenant, both sides giving into the covenant, we can look at the life of Abraham. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 7. Would you go there, Brother Reed? I'd like for you to read some of this. And I may stop you as we get going here this morning. Genesis 15 and verse 7.
And he said unto them, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old and a sheep. And divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away, And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance.
All right, just keep your finger right there. But the Lord wanted to make a covenant with Abraham. And just to help you to understand a little bit about this, he said, take a heifer of 3 years old. That's a cow of 3 years old, a female. And a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these and divided them in the midst. And so, in other words, if you could just think about it this morning, it's probably kind of gross. He would take the pigeon and he would cut the pigeon in half. And he would lay one piece over here and he would lay the other piece over here. And he did the same with a she-goat. He did the same with a heifer. And with the turtle dove and with the ram. Amen. Put them and divided them in the midst. Praise God. And then he walked in between those pieces. This was typical of making sacrifice in the day of Abraham. And in order to do this, or because he did this, he was enjoining himself. he could have taken that heifer and cut it up and had a barbecue. He could have taken the ram and sold it for money and put it in his pocket. He could have had a turtle dove or a young pigeon, and he could have eaten those. But these were actually a part of Abraham. They were a part of his life. They were a part of the things that he possessed in his life. And the Lord said, I want you to give to me what you have. Now, we know this morning the Lord didn't need a heifer. The Lord didn't need a she-goat. He didn't need a pigeon or a turtle dove. God owns everything. Amen. Amen. He owns everything. But it wasn't so much what God needed, it's what Abraham needed. Amen. What Abraham needed was to understand that in this making of a covenant between him and the Lord, there was something on the part of Abraham that he had to do. It was called a sacrifice. And if we're ever going to find the joy of the Lord and the peace of God in our life and to find the will of God, first of all, we've got to understand the concept of sacrifice. And sacrifice means giving that which is your own property, your own possessions. We get an opportunity to do that on a regular basis when we give of our tithes and our offerings unto God, and when we spend time doing things around the house of God and letting our light shine to the world. Amen. That's a part of our giving unto God. But initially here, the Lord said, bring these things unto me, and lay them one against another. And so he walked in between those pieces, literally enjoining himself. And it wasn't just a heifer that gave its life, but it was a part of Abraham's life. Now you think about it. You think about it. When you give of your tithes and your offerings unto the Lord, there's something about that. You are literally giving a portion of your life to God. Amen. If you work 8 hours, if you work 10 hours, however much you work on your job, that's a part of your life. Amen. That's why Scripture says when we are working for someone else, We are actually working for the Lord. Amen. And our labor becomes a sacrifice. Now that puts it in a whole different meaning and territory there this morning. But when Abraham walked between those pieces, he was actually enjoining. He was actually saying, this is a part of my life. I helped to deliver that heifer. I've fed the pigeons and the turtle doves and the ram and the goats. And my servants I've had to take care of. This is a part of me. This is a part of my life. You know, we're living in a generation today that does not want to give any sacrifice to God, but they want the blessings of God. Scripture talks about that, and it says that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. It doesn't say that they are the enemies of Christ. Everybody wants Christ. Everybody wants Jesus because he's the healer. Amen? He's the healer this morning. He is the provider. He is the one. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the door. He's everything this morning. Praise God. And everybody wants Jesus. But Scripture says that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. And what they're looking for in our generation today, many people, they're looking for the Christ of the cross, but they're not willing to pay the price for the cross of the Christ. Amen. And it makes a big, big difference which way you travel in this situation. Amen. If we are going to enter into a covenant of blessing where God will receive our ashes, where the Lord will receive our spirit of heaviness and so on and so forth, if he is going to receive that, then first of all, we must obey the commandment of God and bring our life and put our life upon the altar, amen, until the Lord blesses that sacrifice. And hear me this morning, the Lord will bless that sacrifice. Amen. When you give your life to God, when you give your whole life to God, whatever the Lord has called you to do, if you do it with joy, amen. And if you do it in the time of sacrifice, the day will come when it will all come back to you, pressed down, heaped together, and shaken and running over. Praise God. Amen. And so Abraham walked between the pieces. Now go ahead and read a little bit further here this morning. Genesis 15.
And thou shalt go to thy father in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down, and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces.
All right, a smoking lamp and a smoking furnace and a burning lamp passed between the pieces. And so there was two invisible hands that held a burning lamp, a smoking furnace, whichever way it goes there this morning. And he walked in between those pieces, and that invisible one was the Lord God Almighty. Praise God. And folks, that's the joy of serving God. That's the reality of serving God. Amen. Because now it was not just Abraham's life that he was offering to God. Now it was the Lord offering his life to Abraham.
Amen.
Praise God. And if you really want the joy and the victory of the Lord, it's got to work that way. Thank God for the Holy Ghost this morning. Amen. It's easy to come to the altar and say, I'm sorry. It's easy to go up a couple of steps and go into the water. Amen. But I'm telling you, that is the elimination of the past. And what we need is not just that. What we need is a understanding that God is real. And that's why the Holy Ghost comes. and we speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. Praise God. And it's a real thing. And so he passed through the pieces, and then he made a covenant with him. Go ahead and read just a little bit.
In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram.
Mm-hmm.
Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river Egypt, under the great river, the river Euphrates. The Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Kadmonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephim and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites.
Amen. And if there was any other ites, he promised those to him as well. Praise God. And so Abraham's side of the covenant was to bring a sacrifice of several things. And these were commanded by the Lord. And as I've already said, he had to give up something in order for God to come near unto him with this covenant. And the things that Abraham gave to God and that he offered to the Lord, if you think about it this morning, they were very small in comparison. The Lord said, I'm going to give you the land of the Hittites and so on and so forth. He said, look around, I'm going to give this land unto you. And the land that I give unto you is worth much more than a heifer. It's worth much more than a ram. It's so much more worth than a turtle dove or a pigeon. Are you with me here this morning? What I'm trying to say this morning in my feeble way is that whatever we give to God is very, very small in comparison to what God gives us. Anybody found that to be true this morning? Whatever we give to God is so very, very small. The very small amount that I give in my offerings unto the Lord is so small in comparison. And especially when you think about streets of pure gold and you think about a mansion in heaven, amen. What we give to God, the ultimate sacrifice of what we give to God, is so very, very small in comparison to the glory that's going to be revealed in us. Praise God. And it's amazing to me that so many today are willing to hang on to the things that are not worth keeping. And they make a covenant with death. And they make a covenant with hell. And say that my lies are going to cover me. And my iniquities are going to cover me. They just have this idea, you know, I'm different and everything's going to be all right with me. But it is really not true. We've got to make a covenant with God. Amen. Lay aside our lies. Lay aside all of the sin. And friend, your sin is not worth that much. Amen. You're paying a high price for something that, or you're paying a high price to go to hell, and it's not worth it. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
Abraham's covenant on the other side of the coin from the covenant of death was that he gave a small amount in comparison to what God gave him. I'll tell you what, this morning, It is the best deal that anybody could ever have.
Amen.
What an agreement. Amen. And Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28. And if you'll turn there with me this morning, I've got a few more scriptures I want to read. Hebrews 9 and verse 28. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Praise God. It is appointed unto man once to die. And so we go through this life with our struggles. We go through this life with our difficulties. We go through this life living our life as best as we can, Amen. But there is a day when he is going to appear the second time. Amen. And it's going to be a covenant of life that he brings with him. John 10 and verse 10. Look at this. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And what he's really saying here is don't become friendly with thieves. Say, well, Pastor, I'm not going to do that. Well, I'm telling you, there are many today in our generation that have once known the Lord and they have left the Lord. And if you watch their life, they get so far away from God that you would never even have a resemblance of any kind of righteousness that was in their life, because they have made a covenant with death. The thief is the devil, and he has come to steal and to kill and to destroy. And once he's done stealing and killing and destroying and filling your life with sin and demonic activity and worldliness and all of those kinds of things, he will grind you into the ground and laugh while he's doing it. Amen. The thief does not consider anything but himself. The thief does not consider anything but himself, and he will steal and kill and destroy to get something that is so worthless. Amen. But here's the other side of the coin. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And that word there, more abundantly, literally means super abundant. Praise God. So what is the covenant this morning? The covenant is that we give of our own personal life. That's why it's not hard when you've made a covenant with God to be faithful to the house of God.
That's right.
Well, somebody ought to say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I know I'm not preaching hard this morning, but it's still true. Amen. And when we come and give our life to God, we don't pick up the offering and take it back with us. No, we fight off the things that try to destroy our sacrifice. And Abraham stood there all night long and probably had some cloth in his hand. And when the birds would come down and the animals would come, Abraham fought them off until God blessed the sacrifice that he made. And can I say it this way this morning? We initially make a sacrifice to God, and we give to God a portion of our life. Amen. But there are the fowls of the air, and there are the beasts of the field, which represents the enemy of our soul, and he wants to come and steal your offering.
Right.
He wants to devour your offering, but I'm here to tell somebody this morning, amen, don't let him steal your offering. Amen. Because it is your offering that the Lord is looking for. Amen. Praise God. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And the scripture that we read this morning, it says, your covenant with death shall be disannulled. Amen. I hear a lot on the radio, if you have a timeshare, they guarantee that you'll get out of it, and they will help you to get out of it. You know, if you make a bad deal and you enter into a covenant with someone, and then you realize that you've made a mistake, amen, it's sometimes hard to disannul that covenant with death or that covenant with difficulties. Amen. But thank God, he comes and he says, I am going to disannul your covenant with death. Praise God.
Amen.
And your agreement with hell. Can you imagine agreeing with hell? And your agreement with hell shall not stand when the overflowing scourge shall pass through. Praise God. There is a wonderful exchange that the Lord has for you and for me.
Amen.
Amen. And that covenant today, if you've never been baptized and you've never repented of your sins, I just beg you this morning, Repent of your sins. Take your own life and all of your agreements with hell and with death, and bring them to the altar and give it to God. You say, well, God's not interested in me. He's interested in your ashes. He's interested in your tears. He's interested in all of those negative things that have filled your life and the things that have happened to you. He wants you to bring those to the altar and give of yourself to God and say, God, I no longer belong to hell, but I belong to you. And that's what the scripture is talking about when it says in the book of John chapter 3 where Jesus said you must be born again. And if you are born again, you will enter into the kingdom of God. And that's why the apostle Peter preached on the day of Pentecost and he said, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Thank God for grace this morning. Amen. We are not under the law, but we are under grace this morning. Amen. That fulfills the gospel. We die in repentance. We are buried with him in baptism. And we rise to walk in a newness of life in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise God for this salvation this morning. There are many that are making a covenant with death, but this morning I believe everyone here wants life.
Amen.
We want life, and life more abundantly. Jeremiah 31 and verse 31, I want to read a few more scriptures before I finish here this morning. And the scripture says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. And so the Lord is speaking to Israel here, and he says, the day is coming that I will make a new agreement, a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward part and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be his people. Praise God. It's not religion that's going to save us. It's relationship.
Amen.
It is a true, genuine covenant. Can we stand together this morning? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You say, well, I've been born again of the water and the Spirit. Well, I want you to know this morning, friend, that on a regular basis, even the great Apostle Paul, he said, I must die daily. He said, I die daily. Because there's always something coming along that says you can't be in the house of God this morning.
Amen.
You can't make it today because, or excuses. Hey, I want you to know this morning, the Lord didn't make any excuses for Calvary. He didn't say, well, it's too hot today, or it's too cold today. Or it's not easy, it's too hard. Hey, I want to tell you this morning that whatever sacrifice he made was for the whole world. And I'm thankful for that sacrifice this morning.
Amen.
And all he's asking you and I to do is to give our whole life to him.
Yes. Amen.
Submit our life into his hand and into his will. And I want you to know you're going to get so much more in return. So much more in return. Amen. There's nothing too big or too hard. Amen. We've got to make that covenant at all cost. Praise God. Abraham, get up and leave your country. Leave all your business relationships. Leave everything and come and follow me. Well, where am I going to go? I'll tell you when you get there. Where am I going to live? You're going to live in a tent the rest of your life. You're not going to be able to build a house. You're not going to be able to do any of that. I'm just going to lead you day by day. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. That's a hard one for us to do, isn't it? That's a hard one. But when we make that sacrifice and we give of our own personal life into the hand of God, amen, he's going to take us to the right place. He's going to lead you in the right way, and everything will work out and be all right. Praise the Lord. I'm preaching this message this morning as our country, as I saw a headline this last week, America in Crisis. Well, can I add to that this morning and tell you that it is the world in crisis. We are facing evil that is rising on a worldwide scale. That includes our country, that includes every other country, amen. Countries that are radical in their beliefs, that they believe that calamity and death and destruction is going to bring their Messiah to the world. And so they're actively making a nuclear bomb and building missiles that can actually destroy Israel, missiles that can hit the United States and destroy lives and all of that. Hey, I want you to know I'm thankful for all the blessings of America.
Amen.
I'm glad I live in America. I am. But I want you to know, as a snare that catches the rabbit, the trap that snaps shut the troubles of the judgments of God are going to come upon this world. And the only ones that are going to escape it are those that know and love the power of the altar.
Amen.
I've got to give myself to God. What are you going to do? I want to ask us this morning. What are you going to do when they say you have to take a mark in your hand or your forehead, or you can't work here anymore? What are you going to do? I'm telling you, there's going to be a time and a place when all of that is going to take place. They're talking right now, and I'm trying not to get political here at all, but it's just the reality. They're talking about the Great Reset. And I read just the other day that $50 trillion, if you took everybody's money out of their pocket, the value of all their possessions, it would equal $50 trillion. We're already in America in debt $30 trillion. And unfunded liabilities of our government are over $100 trillion. I think I read where it was $200 trillion. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I'll tell you, we've got to make up our mind right now. I'm serving God. I'm living for God. My goal is heaven. My goal is heaven. When I was just 19 years old, I went to drafting college. And then after that, I went to an interview in a glass company, and I was going to be able to work in the office, and I was going to order glass and do all that sort of thing. And I don't know if this is why I didn't get the job, but the owner interviewed me. This is back in the good old days. There was no internet where you put your resume out. He said, "What's your greatest goal in life?" And I looked him straight in the eye, 19 years old. I said, "I want to go to heaven." And he looked at me like I had three heads.
Right.
He thought, "Well, I'm not real sure if I want somebody that radical working for me." And so I didn't end up with the job. But that's all right. That's all right. The Lord opened up other doors.
Right.
Amen. What's your greatest goal in life? What is the thing that you want the very most in your life? I hope that you'll be able to say with me this morning, I want to go to heaven more than anything. Because, folks, it passes by so quickly. It passes by so quickly. And here we are. And what we've done for Jesus is the only thing that's going to last, and the only thing that God can use to make a covenant with. Lord, we thank you this morning. Lord, we're few in number, but with you we have authority and power and victory. And Lord, I pray this morning for every one of us here today that we will make up our mind and say, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to do the will of God in my life, for it's the only thing that's going to last in eternity. Help us this morning. Touch us this morning. Help someone this morning under the sound of my voice to make a covenant and a sacrifice and to lay aside the covenant with lies and the covenant with death, because you have a better covenant for us. In Jesus' name I pray this morning. In Jesus' name this morning. Amen.